food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Alfred.
Hello, Melody.
Hello. How's it being in Dallas?
It's being... time for me to turn off my fan, I guess. That's how it is.
Well, you know, Dallas, since we're talking about Dallas, and we'll go hit the numbers real quick before we bring on Wendy Wilson from the Apothecary Herbs, and Greg Hunter will be joining us at the second segment of the program today. Dallas Fed President Richard Fisher, he indicated today that the continued strength, he was a dissenter from the FOMC meeting today. He says that indicated that the continued strength in the economy and continued, this is what I think is interesting, continued signs of financial market excess, a surging stock market may make it necessary for the Fed to start raising rates sooner. Janet Yellen said all the monetary policy decisions will depend on all the data that is collected, and perhaps future rate hikes could come sooner and be more rapid if the economy strengthens further. Well, if anybody has a little bit of a brain, you know, everybody knows that the economy will not strengthen any further. In fact, I believe she lowered the next year's GDP from what they had originally predicted. And so it doesn't seem that, you know, it's the same old now. It's...
there's no business like show business.
Exactly. And another thing is, I wanted to say, considerable time was replaced by normalization. She must have said that about 80,000 times. So normalization.
Say, considerable time.
Well, they didn't
replace. They didn't say considerable
replaced.
Time. It's now normalization.
Well, they did talk about considerable time, and she said that she wasn't really, they weren't really specifying an amount of time. It's going to be, the monetary policy is going to be based on data. Okay? That's what they're going to, considerable time really doesn't have, you know, that just threw the markets for, you know, all these puzzling things these economists and so-called economists couldn't figure out what considerable time actually meant. And they threw it towards collecting data. And the data that we have today on gold and silver, you have gold down, and all these moves to the downside came after her little speech today and her interview was down 1180 at $12.24. Yep, so we're down 18 at $18.61. Platinum was down 13 at $13.55, and palladium was down 10 at $836, falling the most of the four precious metals, a little over 1.5%. The USDX today, of course, you can't imagine what that did, up 0.63 at $84.69, and crude oil was also down 81 at $94.07. The paper markets today, after the announcements, edged closer to a record high, as the Fed maintained its policy on the interest rate. You have the Dow up 24 points at 17,156. The Nasdaq up 9 at 45.62, and the S&P up 2 at 2001. And of course, the 10-year yield with the stronger dollar also moved up 0.01 at 2.60%. And the Dow was up, I did see at one point up over 80, so it did not keep the lead. It did fall back. So who knows about the paper markets, but we certainly do know that there is excesses in the financial markets. And of course, you know, hey, if supposedly Wall Street is a sign of a strong economy, then they're going to have to raise rates. But we know that's not true. So we have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon from the Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you?
Just great. Thank you.
Awesome. And Al, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there like everybody else. And I guess our health topic today is about Ebola. It's in the news a lot. And is Ebola really an advanced stage of scurvy? Have you heard about this?
No, that sounds... I know we talked about it last week and whether or not the Department of Homeland Security is prepared for pandemics.
Right.
Like
right.
The one happening with Ebola. Now you're suggesting there's some people that are believing that maybe... This isn't exactly Ebola. This is just a serious case of scurvy.
Well, no, it's just when I did some digging on this, Ebola and scurvy are cousin pathogens that are almost identical. Okay, and with scurvy, it comes on slowly, and it's because you don't have enough vitamin C in the system. Mm-hmm. But with Ebola, when you get Ebola, it depletes the system of vitamin C within 2 days. So it's like an advanced, rapid form. Yeah. And this is also some research coming from a doctor in West Africa who's been working with some of the Ebola patients. And what he tends to do is super infuse through an IV lots of vitamin C, and they tend to recover. So, and you have to ask yourself, well, what's the deal with vitamin C against something as scary as Ebola? Well, your vitamin C, Al and Melody, is responsible to support proper tissue strength, shape of your cells, also helps your skin to look younger. But vitamin C will help protect your cell membranes from toxins, waste material, poisons, and from an overactive immune system like in the case of lupus. So your vitamin C is a real important antioxidant. It seems to work even better if you have vitamin E with it, and it will promote wound healing. So really, vitamin C is the weapon against viruses and cancer, and even Linus Pauling, you know, discovered it's very beneficial against the common cold. So what happens with your Ebola or your scurvy, and it's a hemorrhagic fever, in other words, you start to hemorrhage and bleed, is when you don't have enough vitamin C, the cells lose their shape and integrity, and they collapse, and they start to bleed. But what's even more dangerous with Ebola is it weaponizes the blood after that. And it compromises and cripples the blood's ability to clot. Okay?
Is this a cause or is it an effect? What I'm trying to get to is this.
Mm-hmm.
If we are short on vitamin C, does that effectively cause scurvy? Does that cause Ebola? Or if we contract Ebola and or scurvy, does that deplete us of vitamin C?
Which comes first? Yeah, it's the first one, because you'll find diseases like this in malnourished populations. Okay.
Okay.
So if you don't have adequate stores of vitamin C, you're more susceptible to develop these diseases. And men typically require more vitamin C than women. So if you're going to combine your vitamin C and your vitamin E's in a supplement, usually they recommend on average 400 IUs to 1200 IUs of the vitamin E and 1 to 2 grams of vitamin C. Now, some people say
per day. Per day.
Yeah. Yeah, per day.
Okay.
So 1 gram is 100 milligrams of vitamin C. Now, orange, an organic orange, Al, will have that much vitamin C. So it's really your daily dose of vitamin C in one orange. And if you have the orange instead of the orange juice, you're going to have more flavonoids and polyphenols, which are pretty much natural chemical antioxidants for more protection. So you'll get more fiber and potassium and folate, which is, you know, a good thing as well. So, and what you're doing with your vitamin C is you're assisting your immune system, and it also lowers your risk of rheumatoid arthritis, lowers your risks of lung, mouth, esophageal, stomach cancer, reduces your risk of spinal bifida.
You just dropped
out. And also
out.
Protects you. Oops. Yeah. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Well, and it also helps lower your risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke. So, and if you're anemic, you definitely want to get some of that vitamin C into your body. It helps your blood hold on to the iron better. So I think people, and if you think about it, when the doctors, the American doctors came back from West Africa, you know, these folks had adequate amounts of vitamin C in their system. So I think that played a big part. It helped their system get a jump on Ebola, I think, when it hit them. So,
what are the probabilities that the people in West Africa, we're going to send over 3,000 soldiers, are they going to be packing vitamin C with them, figuratively speaking, or are they going to look for, are they looking at this as a legitimate solution
no.
to the problem, remedy, or are they just overlooking it?
No, I think these 3,000 soldiers are being vaccinated with an Ebola vaccine. Because the CDC owns the patent on Ebola and the vaccine. So I'm wondering if this is, you know, well, we're gonna create a problem to sell you the solution. But you're going to have soldiers shedding Ebola because they've been vaccinated with a vaccine. And the other thing to consider is I did watch a PBS show on how the WHO and their makeshift hospitals in Western Africa were dealing with Ebola. And the doctors there, when the patients would come into the hospital, they would just give them drugs so they wouldn't be vomiting and having diarrhea, so they wouldn't get dehydrated. But they didn't give them anything else. And they just let their immune system deal with it. So they didn't give them any nutritional support. And you have to understand, this is a disease that has 5 proteins in it. And they know this pathogen forwards and backwards. They know how the virus attacks the cell. They know everything about this pathogen, but they won't give you, you know, vitamin and mineral support for your system to deal with it, which I think is insane. So there are some things, if I want to quickly mention, if we have time, what things deplete you of vitamin C, okay? So smoking, alcohol consumption, street drugs, and some prescription drugs, which we'll get to in just a second, and also excessive stress. So this will actually deplete your system of vitamin C. And how would you know? Well, if you didn't have adequate amounts of vitamin C, you're going to have more frequent colds and viral infections. If you have an injury, it's not going to heal as quickly. You may have loose teeth and swollen gums, and your gums may bleed more profusely. You also could have some more prolific joint pain, and your skin could look rough, dry, and even scaly. And in some cases, people who don't have enough vitamin C will have a personality change. So those are all things to look for. And
is that a personality improvement, or is
well,
it? I mean,
well, definitely. If you see a family member and it's kind of off, out of character, you might want to think about, you know, is it a vitamin nutrient? Here's the thing, too. Diabetic folks are going to be more susceptible at the Ebola virus than non-diabetics. And it's the way that the Ebola protein enters the system. And so when you have a protein carrier in a person with diabetes, the glucose or blood sugar, and the hemorrhagic fever pathogens are absorbed rather the same way, where there's an uptake. But here's the thing with diabetics. They have a natural blocking mechanism that works against them at absorbing enough vitamin C. So they're going to be more at risk when it comes to Ebola. Now, here are some of the things that deplete you of vitamin C if you're taking them medicine-wise. Aspirin. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs will interfere with the absorption of your vitamin C. Tetracycline breaks down your vitamin C. Oral contraceptives will increase the excretion of vitamin C out of your body through the urine. Acetaminophen or your Tylenol-type drugs also do the same thing. More vitamin C is exiting the body quickly. Aluminum and acids will block your absorption of vitamin C. Barbiturates will decrease the effectiveness of your vitamin C. Chemo drugs disrupt your levels of vitamin C. Nitrate heart drugs that tend to be combined, they're vitamin C plus a nitroglycerin compound, but they reduce your ability to build your vitamin C stores for some reason. And protease inhibitors, they lower your level of vitamin C. And warfarin or coumarin for blood thinning, vitamin C interferes with that drug. So it's going to be a problem for you if you're on that drug. So and a lot of people wonder where Ebola came from. Well, they say it came from bats, you know. But a lot of people think it's a mutated form. It's a laboratory-enhanced version because normally, when you see Ebola outbreaks, they're like in a cluster in a remote area, and they spread outward. This is kind of like spread outward already. It's almost like someone seeded it. So,
well, you are hinting at conspiracy theories to some degree, and so far as you suggest that they're going to be taking a vaccine for Ebola, mm-hmm. and once they do, can we anticipate someone's going to start selling Ebola vaccine here in the United States?
Well,
they'll
need
a few cases of Ebola here in the United States, and will that justify the sale of who knows how many millions of Ebola pills?
Well, the CDC did send all hospitals in the United States a 6-page Ebola pandemic checklist. They also, the U.S. State Department has purchased 160,000 hazmat suits.
Well, that's stimulating the economy, but if you're right, all they need is some more vitamin C.
Well, you
know, one last thing. We've got about 45 seconds left or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. Vitamin C has been around and promoted, I'll bet you, for 50 years, 60 years, something like that. It's kind of, it's not trendy. It's kind of an old-fashioned vitamin, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Are people taking less vitamin C today than they did, say, 25, 30, 40 years ago?
Well,
just because
they're
taking so many other vitamins.
Well, I think they're, more importantly, I think they're getting less vitamin C in their natural food sources.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So whether they're popping a supplement or not, you know, a lot of people as they get older would, younger folks know. And here's the thing. I went back and I checked on all the immune boosting or pandemic type of herbs you would use for emergencies. They're all very high in vitamin C and zinc.
Yeah.
So I feel very confident using an alternative to deal with this rather than going for an Ebola vaccine personally. So if folks are interested, we do have a pandemic kit that has a shelf life of 10 years, and they can check it out at thepowerherbs.com, or they can give us a call at 866-229-3663. One kit's enough for two adults for about 10 days. If they want to supersize their kit for more, if their family's larger, they can do that as well. So 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com.
All right, Wendy Wilson, thanks
Thank
very
you,
much.
Wendy.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Wendy Wilson from ThePowerHerbs.com. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival with Greg Hunter. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. That's USAWatchdog.com. Greg deserves a great deal of credit.
Yes.
He's done a wonderful job, really getting some spectacular interviews. He has ability, he's kind of developed a stable of guests for his program where really you can get some fine interviews and some good insight into what's happening in the world. Hello, Greg, are you here?
I am here. I am here, and you are clear. Here we go. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, there's a story on the Drudge Report, and which makes my heart just pitter-pat. Trust in, this is a Gallup poll, trust in mass media returns to all-time low, and it's because they don't do a good job. They don't do a good job. They get too many friends in high places. And, you know, even listening to Fox News, they refuse to say, well, we armed them. They refuse to say, I mean, they've had people on floor of Congress. I think Rand Paul said that there was a gun running operation out of, allegations out of Libya. But we certainly armed the rebels in Syria. We did. Period. The end. That's clear. And yet we have John McCain on there saying, well, Hillary Clinton wanted to arm them, and Barack didn't. They did. They armed them. We saw how well that worked out. Turned into ISIS.
And they're getting ready to arm more. They want to train more rebels in Syria. They still aren't giving this up, and they want to train, I think, another 5,000. And I'm
stupid.
Just speculating,
I mean,
how many of them will be shooting at us within 12 months?
They couldn't defeat Assad, and now we want them to keep going after Assad. And we want them to go after ISIS, which has all this U.S. military equipment that they captured from the Iraqi army in western Iraq. I mean, they have tanks, they have armored vehicles, they have, rocket-propelled grenades, they have man pads, they have, you know, you name it, they got it. I wouldn't be surprised if they had depleted uranium munitions.
Yeah. You know, it raises, there's an article.
This
from...
is idiocy. This is the, and now the news is there's back channel stuff, and I only like to report the stuff that comes out that, you know, because I analyze the news, I try to analyze the information, you know, I don't have any, secret sources. I have good sources. I have sources that'll say their names. But, now there are back reports that, of course, they're denied, and there's no rumor that is true until it's officially denied, that we were asking for Iran's help. These are people that we have on the terror watch list that we're asking for their help because they're Shia, and they're back in the government in Baghdad, basically. And then now we're going after the people who are ISIS that that this backfired. I want to tell you, about 2 weeks before 9/11/12 in Benghazi, about 2 weeks, and it's on my site. It's somewhere. I mean, I'd have to do a search for it. But I remember doing it in a weekly news wrap-up, and it was Vladimir Putin, and he was making a statement saying, you know, when you arm, and this is not exactly, but it's close. And I don't want to carry his water because he's got his problems, too. But I will say this. He says, you know, when you arm, terrorists to do your bidding, it can backfire. And Shazam, what happened? 2 weeks later, 9/11/12. Somewhere around the end of August, this is in 12. Vladimir Putin's out saying, you know, when you have people, terrorists do your bidding, it can backfire. Well, boom.
Well, suppose our government is just so stupid? Do you think our government is so stupid that it doesn't understand this? Or are they arming terrorists intentionally, knowing that they're creating their own opposition and more of an excuse to stay in a war 6 months, 12 months, 2 years from now?
One thing is clear, and I will say this is clear. We armed the Syrian rebels. A large part of them were al-Qaeda, period, the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our weapons ended up in the hands of al-Qaeda, and ISIS is an offshoot of al-Qaeda. That's a fact. Now, did this backfire? This policy? Is this something that the CIA created and meant to happen? Does it block off Iran's access to getting weapons into Syria? Maybe. But I don't know. But I will say it is a convoluted mess that's full of pitfalls and full of. Unintended consequences and crazy stuff.
But are they unintended? Okay. That's the question.
They seem unintended.
That's what the government would have us believe. Is, oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened. We gave these people guns and now they're shooting at us. Is that an accident, idiocy, or is it their intent?
Well, here's another thing, and they keep saying this about how, well, ISIS, they sell $3 million a day in oil. Why? How? Who's allowing them to do that? That's not a small amount of money. Why do they have access to the Swiss system? Who's buying that oil? Where's that oil being sold to? Who's buying it? Why don't we have sanctions on them? This is a big, big transaction daily. Why is that allowed to go on?
Well, there's a lot of
reasons. Is it allowed to go on, or is it a pretext to explain and cover where their money's coming from?
Which is
are
often
they really selling that much oil, or are they getting money from another source? Is
like
actually
the Saudis, like
Saudis, perhaps.
Like the Saudis, perhaps.
Oh, the Saudis. I mean, you had Nigel Farage, who was the member of the. A member of the European Parliament, an MEP, saying that our friends in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Have funded these guys, and they have. And, that's pretty widely known. I'm not way out there on a limb. And of course, there's some. We have a base in Qatar, and we have our friends in Saudi Arabia. Blah blah blah. And it's hello. I mean, here's what the takeaway for everybody is. Okay, the takeaway is this: this is going to end badly.
Of course.
That's
badly for who? Is it going to be bad for the
United States?
Is it going to be bad for the Middle East? Bad
it's
for the world?
It's going to be bad for the U.S. It's going to be bad for the world. I mean, here you have ISIS making a video that is they're releasing it, talking about, hey, here's our little slick video for you guys. You know, you're going to, you know, search out and destroy us. Well, we're going to come and bomb the White House, and we're going to, in the flames, and the fighting's just begun. We're coming soon. And meanwhile, our southern border is wide open, and the Democrats, and I hate to be, but they like this stuff. Oh, it's secure. Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, we want new voters, I guess. I don't know. I am not xenophobic either, but, you know, this is a security, national security issue, especially when they have documented in Texas, you know, the governor of Texas on the air saying, oh, yeah, we've gotten people from Yemen, we've gotten people from Saudi, we've gotten people from Pakistan. They're coming through Mexico.
Yeah.
So, but this is going to end. It's like the Ukraine thing. And I tried to, a lot of people are like, oh, Russia's not in there. Listen, Russia, we have Blackwater. At one time, I was talking to Martin Armstrong, and there's some things about Armstrong I love and some things about Armstrong that, you know, a lot of people disagree with, but I will tell you some of the things that he said were very enlightening, and one of them was, hey, the Russians are doing what we did. We had a Blackwater, which they changed their name because it had such a negative connotation on the internet, to Academy. But anyway, we had Blackwater at one time in 2004 or 5, we had as many contractors, as we had U.S. troops in Iraq. Well, the Russians are like, hey, this is a great deal, and the reason why it is because, you know, like this VA stuff, and these guys get hurt, and they don't get treatment. When you're a contractor, thanks for that. We'll give you $150,000 a year, buy your own health insurance. See ya. Bye-bye. Thank you. Right? That's what happens. That's what the Russians did. You know, the Russians said, well, we don't have troops in Ukraine. Of course they don't. They have contractors. They have people on vacation. They have volunteers. They have tourists. But, you know, that's it. And why would you expect anything different? But that's the whole thing with the Ukraine thing. No matter who shot down the jetliner, because you can't really, you don't know, there's not been a really good investigation. I mean, the people were trying to do it from the West, and they were getting shot at. And who knows by who? They may have been shot at by, you know, snipers from Ukraine. I don't know. But it doesn't make any difference. What the takeaway for the common person is we're headed towards war, and it's likely going to be global, and it will also likely have a nuclear component. There, I said it.
Now, that's Martin Armstrong, at least in part. I saw
Martin Armstrong.
He's saying there's two big violence cycles happening for the first time in 300 years. There is both domestic and international unrest consuming the world, and he's suggesting these are war cycles. You're agreeing with him, apparently.
Oh, yes,
When we talk about global war...
I don't know about his cycles.
And we talk about a nuclear component, are we talking about nuclear weapons raining down on every major city in the West and in Russia and maybe China, or are we talking about a handful of nuclear weapons?
I think they'll go off in the Middle East, and I think they'll be so horrible that people will go, whoa. You don't have to have that many to go off to cause weather problems and dust and crap to go all over the globe.
Who do you suppose is going to fire these nuclear weapons?
Do what?
Who will be responsible for launching these nuclear weapons?
Who knows? I mean, my gosh, it could be suitcase nukes. They could be, there was 1,000 when the Soviet Union broke up. They could be, surprise, Iran, bought some nukes when the Soviet Union broke up. You don't know. Surprise, they smuggled some nukes from North Korea. You know, surprise, Japan's a nuclear power, and we didn't tell you it had been that way for 10 years, and we launched them on China. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be some surprises, I'm telling you.
Then it could be a false flag event. We may not. Nuclear weapons might detonate without anyone clearly understanding who was responsible, although some people are going to be blamed.
Oh, I'm sure.
But who is really responsible, we may not know. That's part of the implication.
And I know that, and you guys are big gold, big time gold and silver people. I don't sell it, but I think everybody should have it. But, you know, I mean, the Fed is absolutely experiencing nirvana right now, okay? And what do I mean by that? So, you know, so they come out and say that we're going to continue the easy money policies, basically, for a considerable amount of time. Of course, things are so messed. We've had great success, but things are so messed up, we still have to have 0% interest rates, and we still have to be buying bonds, and we still have to do all this crazy stuff. But things are great. But anyway, it is a recovery.
But they're reducing their prediction for the 2015 GDP.
Well, who knows what
they're saying things are getting better, but for 2015, it won't be as good as we'd previously predicted.
That's what Martin Armstrong said. It's going down. It's cycling down. But here's the thing is that the rest of the world, this is Martin Armstrong's take. Now, he has some other takes on gold and didn't really fully explain when I asked him questions about all the gold buying in China. And, you know, the Shanghai Exchange supposedly is opening early this month. Early. About 10 days ahead of schedule. But, you know, the U.S. dollar, what happens when they say we're going to keep up the easy money? Well, everybody thinks, wow, the U.S. economy will be doing good. And so, you know, the U.S. dollar vaults up. Maybe there's not any naked short selling. Wow, we don't have to naked short sell so much. And the dollar goes up. They don't have to raise interest rates. Gas prices go down just before an election. Have you noticed that? Are you noticing that?
What are the odds?
Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
Gas prices are going down. I sure it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
On. I got a tinfoil hat on here on the internet and a phone. I'm sure it's a coincidence. Just before an election, gas prices. Just before an election in the Fed, I was talking to Gregory Manorino about this. There's no way they're going to say anything, but we're going to keep everything going good. Right before an election, they're not going to drop a baby Ruth in a punch bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to say, oh, it's okay, it's fine. Now, afterwards, I don't know. Ultimately, they're going to lose this war. Ultimately, interest rates are going to be forced up whether they're there or not. But, you know, the Treasury market's huge. I mean, the euro's only 8% of all transactions a euro. You know, the yuan is maybe has gone past. And they're opening up all these swaps and doing all this, you know, work so they can do global trade in yuan. And but the dollar, you got to understand, had the size of the Treasury market. It's massive. You know, everybody's buying the short-term Treasuries, and they're, you know, if you have $10 billion, you can't put it in, you know, the First Chesapeake Bank, which I don't know if there is one or not, but if there is, they're fine. I'm sure they're fine. But you can't put it in the first, you know, Bob's First Bank of Chesapeake. Let's say that, because I know there's not a Bob's First Bank of Chesapeake. They can't put a $10 billion in that bank with $250,000 insurance. And so when the Treasury market is so big and you got $10 billion in the full faith and credit, boom, now we have a place to put $10 billion or $5 billion or $1 billion or whatever. That's the enormity of the Treasury market, the enormity of what's going on. And that's what Martin Armstrong is really good at, is the global enormity. The big. Now, when that changes, and we could a suitcase nuke, which I would not want, and I love my country, and I don't want any ill. I'm not like, you know, these people that think America should be ashamed of itself. But could somebody do something to upset the apple cart and hurt the dollar? Yes, they could. Could China sell their treasury bonds? Yes, it could. And that's the other thing, is that they're talking about interest rates going up. Really? You're going to raise interest rates with this massive, $17.6 trillion? Really? China's going to love that. Oh, you're going to destroy our bond values. Oh, that's great. We're holding $3 trillion. Yeah, sure. You raise interest rates. We'd love it. We'll hold this for you. We'll buy some more. You see what I'm saying?
I see
really
what the question. The
right
whole
now,
thing
the
is so unstable.
Hey, what?
Everything is so unstable, so bizarre. It's like the lunatics have absolutely taken over the nut house. And who's in charge? And where are we really going right now?
Well,
other
you know,
than toward chaos?
Something
and there's
happen,
people, New
happy.
World Order, out of chaos order. They may be trying to exploit it. I'm not sure if the chaos is being caused intentionally or if it's just they're just trying to exploit it as best they can, but the world is not in control. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. We'll be back with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We are talking about a kind of madness that's going on in the world right now. And as you watch this from the outside, Greg, is the madness accelerating? And if so, how long can it continue to accelerate? And what is the probability that the whole system's going to shatter before this is all over? What do you think?
I want to back up. You said that are they doing this on purpose? And the answer is, well, yes. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
They did not have to go after Libya. Can anybody tell me what did Gaddafi do? He gave up his chemical weapons. Seriously, he gave up his He's not a good guy. He's a weasel. But he was a weasel that kept the crazy people that are taking over now in check.
Yes. Well, he dared to set up
a... Let me tell you what Assad doesn't do. He doesn't kill Christians. He doesn't murder Christians.
Nope.
Okay? Why do we have to? What was the push to get rid of Assad? Why? Why are we doing that? Why do we do that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Why is it our business?
Why was it our business to arm these rebels? And why? Why were we doing that? Why did we do that? Why do we bomb the living daylights out of Libya? And let me tell you something. Gaddafi, there was a war crime committed there, and nobody said a word. They had him in custody. There was video of him. And now you see him walking around with his hair all messed up, and the next thing you know, he's got 2 rounds in the back of his head.
Yeah.
Laying on the ground. Oops! So what they did do on purpose was they destabilized Iraq. They destabilized Libya. They destabilized Syria. Then you had the Arab Spring in Egypt, and the military took back over control, which is better than the Muslim Brotherhood running it. But we shouldn't be in there either. That was a coup. But anyway, that's what they did on purpose. So why? What was the point of that? Did this backfire out of control? How many fronts are we going to open up? Are we going to have boots on the ground in Iraq? That's what Dempsey said. Well, if it doesn't work, which it's not going to work. Let me tell you something, it's not going to work. Well, I fully think it'll work. Then, General Dempsey, you are an idiot. You are a buffoon. If you think this plan is going to work, you're a buffoon. That you want to arm the people that we were arming before that couldn't take out Assad. Now we want them to continue to fight Assad and open up a new front with ISIS. That's not going to work. I'm sorry, not going to work.
Well, it worked in Vietnam, And Afghanistan and Iraq.
We have asses handed to us. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm being sarcastic. What I'm, you know, it hasn't. We have evidence that this business of putting the boots on the ground, where you're facing a popular rebellion. This is not a. This is not a formula for success.
Listen, I'm not for any of this. I wish we would have just stayed out of that. We should have never taken over. As terrible as both Saddam and Uday and Qusay and Saddam were, hey, they put a cork in basically a counter agent against Iran. If you want to keep, you know, the power stabilized, we destabilized the whole, we made a mess out of the whole Middle East. To your questions, is it going to get worse? Oh, you know it. Oh, it's already getting worse. It's getting worse by the day. And the president is looks. I don't know. Are the people around him trying to make him look stupid? Is he trying to make himself look stupid? I don't know. I don't mean to call him names, but he looks. He said we have a.
He looks incompetent.
No,
he does not.
No, we don't. We do not have a big coalition. We don't have
the problem.
That's totally false. We don't even have Great Britain to help us. Totally false.
That's.
Well, they got their own problems.
The situation with Great Britain recently announced that they would issue some bonds, English bonds, denominated in the Chinese yuan.
Of course.
Now,
so is Germany, so is Argentina. So is, I think India has a yuan facility. You know it's going to be bad when their yuan facility opens up at J.P. Morgan in Manhattan. You know it's over. I'm telling you.
For the U.S. dollar.
And we're not even talking about Ukraine. We're not even talking about Ukraine and the buildup on the border. And I don't want to get into the whole propaganda, whatever. I mean, that's another thing you never hear on Fox News. That we started this coup during the Winter Olympics. Victoria Nuland was on record from the State Department. We spent $5 billion in Ukraine. Really? Yeah. What are we doing there? But what do you think Russia was going to do? You want our Black Sea? You want our port where our Black Sea fleet is stationed? No problem. I said this a long time ago, over a year ago, year and a half ago, when this whole Syria thing started out, when it was just 20 or 30,000 deaths. Now it's at 200,000, 180,000. I don't know. The Syrian quote unquote civil war. And I said, listen, Russia has a base there in Tartus. It's on the Eastern Mediterranean. It's a key place. It's key. That's like Hawaii to them.
Okay.
Okay? That's a key place. They spent $9 billion making that thing retrofitted so it would fit. It's not a huge base, but it's a big naval base. It could take nuclear submarines and stuff like that. So they spent $9 billion and forgave it to Syria. I said, they're not going to let that go. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They're not going to let that go. That was a couple of years ago. Here we are, fast forward, 2 years later. Did they lose their base? Did Russia lose their base?
No.
The answer is no, they did not. And then now we have this thing where Lavrov, the counterpart to Kerry, their foreign minister, same thing as Secretary of State, basically, he's saying, hey, whoa, you're going to bomb in Syria. Hold on a minute. Or you better not be bombing Assad. You better not be bombing our buddies. I mean, this is. He also pointed out last week that this could turn into a much wider Middle East conflict. Well, how about World War III?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Chinese, listen, they are in lockstep with the Russians, and they're trying to get every penny they can out of their treasury holdings. You know, treasury bonds, you don't have to cash them in. You can just say, hey, take this as good as cash, right? Or they could force the Fed to cash them in, and I'm sure covertly they're cashing in a bunch of stuff. That may be what Belgium's about, you know, with Euroclear buying all these bonds. Maybe they may be cashing China out. But still, I mean, what happens if China thinks, well, you know what, we're going to limit America's ability to conduct war. We're going to sell everything. Do you think America would their ability to conduct war would be over?
It would be diminished dramatically, that's for sure. I mean,
you can
put us out of the war business entirely, but our ability to project force overseas and to meddle in everyone's affairs, it's all a function of the value of the dollar.
Some of the meddling is probably, you know, who's going to help the Yazidis that are caught on the mountaintop? The U.S., the Great Britain couldn't. France wasn't going to do anything. Russia wasn't. China wasn't. Who did that? Us. America's not all bad.
No, America's I agree with that, bad. But America gets involved in too many situations where we don't belong.
America is in a weak financial position. This ain't 1980. This ain't Ronald Reagan's first year in office. This ain't 1988. This isn't the big boom in the stock market in the 90s and the big productivity gains and all the birth death ratios being lopsided towards all these new businesses growing. This ain't that. And that's another thing Armstrong said. Oh, it's going to get worse, but we're going to be the last to go down. I mean, you know, we're going to be the last. We're that's why the dollar went up. And it back to the whole, you know, what Janet Yellen and the Fed, you know, keeping the easy money up. Oh, America's economy will still prop up the world. Okay, so the dollar's going to go up now. And oh, there's this war stuff going on. And this is nirvana for them. They get a stronger dollar. They get cheaper oil prices just before, a major election. Economy looks pretty good. They don't have to raise interest rates and kill the housing market. Wow, nirvana. The world's running
out of money. So it seems. It's free supply of drugs. It's like a heroin addict just getting a free supply of drugs, and you say, boy, is this great or what? Well, or what is the answer, because you can't continue to consume those drugs without paying a serious price.
Well, it's not the heroin that, a heroin addict is pretty docile. You know, the trouble doesn't start until they can't get it.
Yeah.
That's when the trouble starts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, you know.
Greg,
we are certainly in unstable times. Go ahead, Melody.
Greg, what do you think about this Scotland vote that's supposed to happen tomorrow?
Is it going to be a legitimate vote? Are they going to jury-rig the whole thing? I mean, this is of profound importance to the United Kingdom. I mean, all of a sudden, Scotland's going to get a piece of their North Sea oil. You know, that's one of the things. They're counting on, you know, Scotland. Oh, we have North Sea oil. Scotland's to the north, right? That's going to be our boundaries. That's going to be our international waters. So is there enough North Sea oil for Scotland to be able to fund themselves? They're talking about Royal Bank of Scotland, right? RBS leaving, so they can have the money printers of the city in London to be able to backstop them when they fail again. They're talking about how vote for jobs and vote for this. And I don't know. I mean, they're. I think it's a big problem for the UK. I mean, all of a sudden they got a new country inside their country.
It's got to be a terrible political insult to the United Kingdom. It is evidence that they are breaking up. They are no longer able to even control their own islands. It's more evidence that the UK is simply becoming an historical footnote rather than a real player in the world today.
They do have nuclear weapons. Don't underestimate the power of the UK. They do have nuclear weapons. They do have a reach. They do have the City of London, which is a bizarre, entity like, the Vatican. It's bizarre. And, they have their own rules there in the City of London. That's why none of these guys ever went to jail.
It's kind of like Washington, D.C.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have this huge, amount of fraud. Not a single banker's gone to jail. Nobody even talks about it. Republicans or Democrats, they don't say a word about it. I mean, Dick Durbin blurted out a couple of years ago, the senator from Illinois, the bankers, they own us. Well, they do.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to jail. Then it got so bad that Eric Holder and Gonzalez or anybody else would have done the same thing. They would have gone to jail, these people. No bank is too big to jail. Really? They can launder money for Iran and terrorists and drug cartels? Nobody goes to jail. They just had a big thing where they were laundering millions of dollars. Who was it? Bank of America and Citi? Somebody else were laundering money for drug cartels? Millions and millions of dollars. Nobody goes to jail. If shareholders pay for it. I don't understand how anybody would buy a bank stock. I mean, Jamie Dimon or whoever the bank president is of all these banks doing all this stuff. I mean, what did the J.P. Morgan pay something like $28 million in restitution and fines and losses over the last, year and a half? I mean, you could have bought LinkedIn and had an extra $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody goes to jail? He gets, huh?
Part
of this is because these banks are doing what the, what did Paul Craig Roberts say not long? I was inventorying my site because I had to recategorize some stuff. And I was looking at all the titles, and one of the titles came up, which was Paul Craig Roberts, former Treasury Secretary, which an assistant Treasury Secretary is like, a click below the Treasury Secretary. Probably has 200, 300, 400, 500 people working for him. He was a father of Reaganomics, Paul Craig Roberts. And one of his quotes, his title was a great title, and it said, you know, the government is rigging the markets. The mind boggles.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. It's not the banks. You know, you had Blythe, Blythe Masters come on and say, well, we don't sell, we do that for our client. And of course, nobody on CNBC, well, who's your client? Ah, that'd be the Treasury. But that never happened. I mean, that's what I think. I think that's what would the answer would have been. But, you know, that's just the problem. This is bad. I'm going to go back to, you know, the trust in media is at a fresh all-time lows for mainstream media because they don't say anything. They do not allow people to tell the truth, just the truth, just the overt truth, not some crazy source that says, no, just the truth, right? Just the truth.
It's no longer journalism, it's propaganda. That's the unfortunate reality of it. And people are aware of this. A substantial percentage of the American people are aware that they are getting propaganda rather than news. But what is the solution to the problem other than to listen to programs like this one and to visit USAWatchdog.com? Is there a solution? Is there a final point where this whole thing explodes? And propaganda has to end, or
here's what I know. Here's what I know. That things are destabilizing. Things are getting worse. Look at Ukraine. During the middle of a ceasefire, did you notice this? So they have a ceasefire. Poroshenko, the president of Ukraine, says, hey, the Russian forces are mostly out. Those were mercenaries, incidentally. A lot of people gave me a hard time for it. And when I came, I had Martin Armstrong, and I said, they're in there. I know they're in there. Tell me that they're in there. He said, oh, yeah, they're mercenaries. Yeah, they can say they're not Russian soldiers, but yeah, they're mercenaries, just like Blackwater. Okay, good. That's because all of a sudden they went from, oh man, the Russian separatists could have a genocide, to all of a sudden, boom, the Ukrainian military was on the run. How'd that happen? Come on. They got lucky? No, like mercenaries, just like Blackwater. But anyway, neither here nor there. If you look at what's going on, the president of Ukraine said, you know, most of the Russian fighters are gone. This is Poroshenko. What does the West, the EU, and the United States do? More sanctions. Huh? What? They had a ceasefire. The president says most of these guys are gone, and then we have more sanctions, and they sanction Russian oil companies. Oh! Then you have the ruble, which is at fresh all-time lows. So you know that's creating strife in Russia. You know, that paybacks are going to be a you-know-what. I mean,
we have 15 seconds, Greg. Why don't you wrap up with what you think is happening in the near future?
More instability until there's a black swan or a moment or somebody pulls the plug or the plug gets pulled. You know, we're going to get a new system because this one is way over leveraged to hundreds of trillions of dollars, and people can't grasp that. And you better be holding on to your house title, to your car title, to your land title. To you better hold on to your stuff. You better have title to your stuff. Stuff is going to be really important. Paper is going to get killed.
Yep, that's what's going to happen, and things like gold and silver will presumably do well. We're out of time. We want to thank you for being on the program. As always, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Greg Hunter.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.